My name is Jaime Rodriguez. I'm a Windows 8 technical evangelist. And for those of you in the room, we're going to spend all day talking about building Windows 8 games and Windows Phone 8 games with Unity. If you're in the room, you should know that we're live on Channel 9, so there'll be people tweeting questions on the website. And if anybody wants to go on Twitter, the hashtag is CH9Live, so there'll be people interacting there. You guys can track it from within the room, and be aware that anything you say would probably be on the microphone, and those people will hear it too. So feel free to interact with the online people as we go. We have a day full, a full day packed with Windows 8 content and really interesting stuff, and I want to open up with our goals for the day, just to say a little bit of context. We're here to teach you how to do Windows 8 and Windows Phone 8 games with Unity. And as of today, Unity is in beta. We're just getting started. There's already about 20 games in the store. There's already about 4 or 5 games on the Windows Phone store. So we know these things are working, but we're going to talk about something that's still pretty early. It's something that's still beta. And we're going to try to focus most of the day on giving you the lessons learned, all those intricate details and workarounds that we need for now just to get you into the store as soon as you can. So as you go throughout the day, keep in mind that we're focusing on the lessons learned. We're focusing on the stuff that you might need to know that you don't already know. If you're a Unity developer and you haven't written Windows 8 games or Windows Phone 8 games, that's what we're going to focus on. If you're a Unity developer, the one thing that you do need to know is that it's very, very straightforward. You'll see throughout the day, your assets, your games just port very, very easily. You just have to go in and tweak and optimize a few things and you'll succeed. So keep that in mind. We're kind of focusing on the lesson learned. And we're going to talk about something that's beta, so there'll be things that are not working today that will work in the next build or very, very soon. Here's our agenda for the whole day. If you're in the room, you'll hopefully stick around for the whole day. Everything gets better and deeper as we go throughout the day. So we progress into the level of depth. In the beginning, we talk about Unity, and later on, we talk about lessons learned from people that have built games and have put it on the store already. For you that are online, we will have DVR, so if you need to go take a break, if you're a different schedule or anything like that, all of this content will be available on demand. The PowerPoints will be available on demand. We'll make sure, or we'll try to put as many demos as we can, so everything will be available, and you will have DVR functionality so you can leave for half an hour, come back and play back and, start where you left off. So get the most out of the day. And with that, I'm going to start with the first session for the day, which is me just telling you about Windows, what do you need to know about the Windows Store, all the things that you might not be familiar with if you haven't seen Windows 8 at all. Just for me, show of hands, how many of you have seen Windows 8? All right, everybody. How many of you are running Windows 8? Okay, great, a good amount. So I'm gonna give you a little bit of an intro to Windows 8 just for those people that are online. Bear with me for just a few minutes. And I have to be, I'm probably the first one and the only one who's not gonna go really deep into Unity and coding and all this stuff. So put up with just 20 minutes or so of marketing and demos and stuff like that. So this is what I'm gonna cover. I'm gonna show you the Windows 8 experience so you're familiar with some of the concepts we're gonna discuss throughout the day. Then I'm going to talk to you about the store, and I'm going to tell you how we're doing in the store, just so that you can decide, is this a good opportunity for me, or is this something that I need to wait for a little bit more? So let me start right here with Windows. And you see right here, I'm running PowerPoint. This is a Surface Pro that I'm running in, so I'm running in my little tablet computer. I'm running PowerPoint right here. You see the desktop. Everybody who's seen Windows in the last 10 years is familiar with this model. And with Windows 8, we have the exact same model. If you wrote a Unity game for desktop, it will just run on Windows 8, right? Everything that's desktop remains the same on Windows 8. It just runs a little bit better. We're very, very backwards compatible. I would say 99 or higher backwards compatible. So everything that you know about Windows 8 is still applicable. But we have a whole new model, which is, this start screen, which is where we have our Windows Store applications. And one thing that we have with Windows 8 is we can also now run on ARM. So you'll see tablets outside in the room where we have hardware for display. You'll see tablets that are running on ARM. And so we have this model, which is a more touch-centric, a little bit more, it's definitely a different model from what you've seen, a little bit more entertainment-oriented, great user experience that we're having for people who want to run on ARM, just like you do a tablet, whether that's, iOS or Android tablet. Very similar model, very similar expectations from the users. And this is kind of what our start screens looks like. You can see here, this is how I launched. You see some of the tiles are kind of animating. We call them tiles. Those are the application icons. So if I click on anything here, for example, right here, if I click on the store, that's going to launch an application, which is going to be the Windows Store. Right? If I need to go back, I'll just go back here, and I'll switch back and forth between all of these. Right, so very similar model to what you know with Windows, but now in a slightly different user experience. And this is my start screen, and you see all my applications here. You'll see the tiles come in and out. These are tiles. This is what we use instead of icons. We call them live tiles or tiles, and you know the ones that are moving around are live. Those are being updated on demand, and there's many ways to update them. You can update them using local notifications. You can update them from your server using push notifications. So there's a lot of different ways. You're going to learn a lot about that. During the day. You see here some of the applications. I have all my Office suite. Again, this is a Surface Pro, so I can run every application that ran on previous Windows 7 can run on this Surface Pro machine. Here I have some applications. You'll see here a little bit of some of the Xbox games, which I'm going to show you a few as we go. And then I have more games. I just saved 6 Unity games. There's a lot more in the store already. So I'll show you some, and you'll hear from the people that build some of these throughout the day. That's why I selected these over any other Unity games that are out there. So for anybody that's built one, this was mostly people that have that are participating in today's sessions. So that's where we're at, and you'll see, again, it's a new start screen. Let me show you some of the applications real quick. So I can go here, and I'm just going to switch onto this Pinball. And this is just a DirectX game. We're talking about games throughout the day, so I figure I'll start with Xbox Live title. It's a DirectX game. It's just Pinball. This is not built in Unity. Oops. And I'm sleeping here somehow. All right, next time. I wasn't paying attention, so the game just started playing without me doing anything. But you see really great graphics, DirectX, everything that you would expect out of a very immersive game. It's touch, so you can see here I can move around and everything will be touch-driven. Everything will be there for you to have a really great user experience. If you want to see a different game, let's go here. I'll show you a slightly different model. So this is Chimpact, again, another DirectX game. These are not built with Unity. You'll see a lot of those throughout the day. I wanted to start with some that you haven't seen yet and that are, giving you an overview of what we can do. So you can see here, this game, Chimpact. I'll have some statistics on it later. That's why I'm showing it. This game's been around the store for about 3 months, and it's really successful. Great graphics, very immersive. Kids just love the little characters. And you can see here from the graphics and from everything else, great performance, great user experience, right? One more game I want to show you. I'm showing you 3 different ones just so that I can talk later about some of these models. This is Cut the Rope. Everybody here is familiar with Cut the Rope. You played the game before, and you can see here I'm driving everything with my finger. So this is the game as you know it. Just do level 1 because that's the only one I know that I can get. Right there. Right, Cut the Rope. You've seen all these games. People are already porting the games from other platforms. We have a good number of games, but there's still a lot of opportunity. We have a few games. We don't have as many as every other platform does. So the opportunity for you to get in there very early onto the store is there. And you see there a little bit of games. That's what you would expect out of any tablet. That's what you would expect out of Windows. We have a really great user experience. But let me show you a few things that are extra that we have that are interesting for you to know. For example, right here, I'm in Cut the Rope. And in Windows 8, all our applications are connected. So for example, I'm in Cut the Rope right here, and we have this thing called charms or contracts. So I'm within the application, and I want to tell somebody on Facebook or Twitter that I'm playing this game. It's very simple. I just swipe from the right here, and I have this special functionality that we call charms, right? And you're going to hear the technical term for them is contracts. And I can, for example, do something like, say, share. And from within Cut the Rope, it's automatically going to share this, the little text right here that says, hey, I'm playing Cut the Rope on Windows 8. And I can just select the Twitter application. This is the official Twitter app built by them, already ready for Windows 8. And if I just click Tweet right here, that would automatically go into my Twitter stream. And if you're a game developer, think about it. You're right into this share contract, and you're not having to worry about, hey, I need to go back and connect to Twitter. Or, for example, if I wanted to do the exact same thing and connect to, say, Facebook, I can go in there and connect your social MB to Facebook, right? And later on today, you're going to see how to build these contracts. It's very, very straightforward. All of this functionality is accessible from within your Unity game. So you'll be able to connect your application to the world very, very quickly. We have other contracts that you can get more creative around. For example, we have something called a search contract, which it's a little bit harder to think about, hey, how would I use this on games? You're going to have to get creative. But let me show you how that functionality works so you understand how Windows applications are connected to each other. So I'm right here in search. I click search. And let's say, for example, I search for Russia. So you see, this is part of the shell right here. This is part of my start screen. And you know, there's nothing in there. Like, I'm running Cut the Rope. But I can go back here and say, oh, click on the travel app. And that automatically launches the app, right? So through the magic of contracts, I go into the search contract and I said, oh, you know, search for Russia, and that automatically launches this travel app. I can just click on another app, for example, that's travel, you see. Well, that's interesting. All right, there we go. You see Russia there. I can do the exact same thing and say, hey, what's going on in Bing? You know, and it's automatically launching the Bing application, giving me all the results about Russia, and then you know, bringing that onto the foreground, onto the main experience that you have here. Another app, for example, here, Cocktailful, is an app that makes drinks. And I can do that exact same thing from within the start screen right here. I'm just typing Russia, and this is automatically launching all these applications, and they're all connected. This is how applications interact with each other in Windows 8. Now, what you see here, if you've noticed, in Windows 8, and when you're right here on the Windows Store mode, all my applications are full screen, right? So we have one application always running in the foreground. We know we want to make sure that you have a great user experience, and so that application is the one that's always on the foreground. But you can actually run more than one. So for example, right here, you saw me earlier, I was doing Cut the Rope. I can put it right there next to each other. Cut the Rope, obviously, when it's paused, is not as interesting. Let's find something that's slightly more appropriate for example, right here for Snap. I'm looking for the Twitter app, which I thought I had launched, but I didn't. So that's okay. Let's just go here. Let's put these on the side here. And you can see here, I just type Twitter. That automatically launches it. And now, for example, here, I can put it in this Snap View mode, and I still have all these, you know, all this space right here, so I can play the game and Twitter at the same time. Right? So this is something that you can do with Windows 8. You can have two foreground applications running as you go. When you're not on the foreground, your application will be still in memory. That's how I managed to do this, you know, task switching back and forth so fast. But your application won't be getting any CPU cycle, so it's not consuming batteries, not consuming CPU. And these are things that, of course, as you code your game, you're going to have to learn and be aware of so that you can write a really great Windows game. You're going to hear about it throughout the day. So that's it. That's a very quick introduction to Windows 8. You saw the things that changed. There's not a lot that changed on the desktop. Again, we just ran a little bit better. And you saw the things that changed with regards to the new user experiences on the Windows Store mode. So let me go back here. And get back into the PowerPoint and tell you a little bit more about where we're at. So I'm going to talk to you. You've seen everything. Now I'm going to distill a little bit of that and talk about some of the platform investments so you understand how, you know, how to take advantage of what we have and what's coming. Right? The first thing that you need to know is Windows 8 was designed to be a great hardware experience. Right? You know, everything that we've seen was GPU accelerated. We have you know, graphics acceleration everywhere. We're DirectX 9 and above everywhere, all the way up to DirectX 11. So everything that you saw, even the HTML games, which was the Cut the Rope game, is hardware accelerated, right? So we've designed this to be a really great experience. You saw me kind of go back and forth. I was using touch for most of what I was doing, but if I was using a mouse, all of those events would have been the exact same. We've actually aggregated input into one API. So for example, when you write your game, it won't matter whether the user is doing a tap and using touch or whether they're using a mouse. All of that comes to you as just one pointer event, and you'll be able to code to this unified API so you don't have to do a lot of work, and you get a really great user experience. So with regards to hardware, we've made sure that everything runs really great. Now, this is Windows, so we're going to be on tons and tons of different devices. We're going to be on all kinds of different form factors, tablets, desktops, all-in-ones, you know, small screens, big screens. So as you write your game, you will have to think about that. But that's something that, you know, for you is towards your advantage, right? It's a bigger market out there. And we've designed for that, and we've tried to make sure that our APIs are easy for you to use. With regards to our platform, here's what we have. We have a core service platform, as you're familiar with before from Windows. We have everything that you used to have on the desktop model, so nothing changes there. Your Unity game for desktop continues to work the exact same. And we have a whole new platform right here, which is what we use for building what we call Windows Store applications. And let me show you the whole platform so we can talk about it as we go. So first of all, the platform is built on this new runtime called WinRT. And this runtime to you is going to feel very familiar. If you're familiar with the .NET framework and you'll be coding in C# because you're running Unity games, it's going to be very familiar to you. It's going to look like the similar API. It's going to have the same API design. Everything is going to be very familiar. This is kind of a abstraction layer on top of the old Win32. So program is going to be easier. You're going to have this new API, which you can access from within your Unity game written in C#, or maybe from within an HTML app written using HTML and JavaScript. And when I say HTML app, by the way, I'm not talking about, let me put a web view on top of my app, and then I'm going to code HTML and JavaScript. In Windows 8, HTML apps are native. So you can write an HTML app like Cut the Rope, and you can actually just go in there and code your JavaScript, interact all the way down to the shell, call onto these tiles APIs, onto all these contracts APIs. Everything's available to you from within your HTML and JavaScript. Now, you're gamers, and we're talking about Unity games, so why would you write a Unity game? Unity is hardware accelerated. You get much better performance. You're coding onto a native platform, right? If you code it on C#, we still compile that and JIT that and make sure that more optimized. So if you have a demanding, a very immersive game, you do want to go to the Unity DirectX route. And Unity is leveraging DirectX underneath, by the way. So with regards to hardware acceleration, they're actually calling the native platform and taking advantage of everything we've designed for. If you're coding a Unity game, you can write it in C#. You can also use C++ and go DirectX. Use actually a host that's written in C++ and DirectX. Performance is not that different between those two models because in the end we're talking about native code, things that we optimize as you install and do and you've done everything else. So that's where you're at. The one thing that you also can see here is that you can have SAML within your C# application. So if you're writing a game and you need some sort of menuing, any kind of settings and all kinds of functionality, you will be able to bring UI widgets, UI controls onto your Unity game, overlay them back and forth. We have seamless integration between the DirectX layers and the SAML layers where you can write UI and widgets with a very productive framework that you would have. So that's kind of our platform. That's what we've done. We've done a lot of work to make sure this was a very, very productive platform. Feedback from developers so far has been stellar. We think we're on the right track to have a lot of choice, right? Again, if you're Unity, no worries. Continue using Unity. You'll see a lot of this platform as you go, and it's going to be seamless as you go throughout the day, so you don't have to worry about anything else. So that's one of the things that we changed. Another thing that we changed is how we distribute your app. And I'm going to show you a demo of the store a little bit later, so bear with me. I'm going to get ahead and talk about distribution and tell you how the model is. If you've written a Windows game before using Unity or any other framework, you are kind of on your own to distribute it. With regards to Windows 8, now we have a store, so the distribution is very typical for any platform that has a store. We have a store portal where you will go in there and submit your application. You'll bring your game, submit it to us. We will certify it, validate it, test it, do everything else that we need to do in order to validate it and certify it so we can put it on the store, right? And then once we've done that, we'll actually make it available to the store. Users are going to come to the store. They're going to search for it. They're going to do discovery in many different ways, whether it's online search or if we're in the within the store application. They're just going to find your game. They're going to click the install button, right? And then Windows, again, will do all of the work that we need to deploy it. Deploy it, install it. We will also take care of the uninstall for you. So everything that you need with regards to distribution, Windows is taken care of, just like any other platform that has a store. So there's not a lot of surprises there. The model should be very familiar to most of you if you've written a game for any other platform that has a store. But again, there's a lot of infrastructure that we're adding for you. Another change that we have, if you've done desktop development, I do want to highlight this change because this is interesting. Because we have a store, because we're certifying the games and all these applications, we want to make sure that the user has very high confidence that your game is not going to break their machine, right? I use my machine for PowerPoint just as much as I use it for gaming, right? So what we have is when you write a game, you will have your game, and your game will have be isolated from everybody else on the desktop. So your process right here won't be able to talk to any other processes. Nobody can read your memory. You cannot communicate with other processes unless you have a predefined mechanism. And that's where contracts come in. I showed you earlier how from within one application, which was my cut the rope game, I could go in and talk to the, for example, Twitter app and actually tell it, hey, please share this for you. Right? So we use those contracts to communicate back and forth between two different processes. Obviously, your process can still access the OS. We have direct APIs to the US through this new Windows runtime WinRT. And then we have these special kind of higher privilege brokers that allow you to do certain operations, for example, accessing the file system, right? And all of this is manifest driven. There's permissions and all kinds of stuff that you would expect for a platform. I want to highlight that user confidence is one of the things that we designed for, and it's something that you're going to have to be aware of as you write your game. For the most part, a game doesn't need a lot of input to files or doesn't need a lot of communications with other processes. So all of this is going to be very, very straightforward to you. But I wanted to make sure that you understood it. And the last embedment that we have is the Windows Store, and I'm going to dive into all of these. But I did have 5 bullets here that I want you to remember if you're looking at, hey, what are the things to remember from the store. I'm going to talk to you about reach. I'm going to talk to you about our business models. I'm going to talk to you about revenue. Of course, we're all doing this to make money and have some fun along the way. So I'm going to dive deep into a lot of these. With regards to a store, the things to know is that, first of all, it's available on every PC going forward. Right, so anybody goes to today, if you walk into a Best Buy or a Fnac or any kind of store that's selling Windows machines, you buy a Windows 8 machine, the store applications is there and it's pre-installed for you. It's ready for the user to just click and actually start finding your applications. So lots and lots of PCs. Think about, there's 1 billion PCs out there, right? We have Windows 7 has been around a little bit less than 2 years, and we have 700 million Windows 7 machines out there. As all of those machines get upgraded onto Windows 8, the store will be available to all those users ready to find your application. So just think about how many people you could reach. To give you some sort of scope or context, the Windows Store is available in 230 countries. That's more than any other store out there, right? We have 100 languages. We're in 120 markets. Right, and then developers can get payouts from about 80 different countries. Right, so pretty much this is available everywhere. This is a huge, huge opportunity. You write your game, you localize it, you can go in there and sell it on China, you can go in there and sell it in Africa, you can sell it everywhere because Windows is everywhere. It's one of the most most deployed software out there in the world. And the store, of course, is coming with Windows, so it's going to be available everywhere where we ship Windows. We also have some really, really great economics. And first, let me tell you what we have, and then I'll tell you how much of that you're going to get out of it. So whatever you would expect from a platform, like you have a game and you're expecting to have commerce APIs or advertisement or analytics, all of that stuff we have. We have the option. We give you the option. You can have it from Microsoft where you use our commerce APIs, or you can have it if you have a third-party model and you already have an API that you like to use. Maybe you like to use Flurry, or you have your own in-app purchase, right? That's okay. Microsoft will let you do that. So this is something that the other stores don't let you do, right? And in our world, we're like, hey, you have your own third-party API, you have your own third-party commerce, no problem. You can keep it, and not only are you going to use it, but we're also going to give you a really great deal on it. So let me tell you how much of the, what a revenue sharing looks like for you. If you write a game for the Windows Store, 70%, right? That's standard. Anybody here have a game on another platform? Right? A few of you? 70% is what you give them, right? Or 70% is what you get, they keep 30%. Well, that's where we start with Windows 8. Now, after you've done $25,000, we bump you up to 80%. So now you're getting 10% more, and it's the exact same game. You didn't have to do any extra work. You're just getting 10% more than any other platform out there. Go ahead. Windows Phone is separate. Windows Phone is still at 70%. And for context, I'm going to cover Windows 8 in the morning and then Phone in the afternoon. So I'm going to give you the exact same details for Phone later in the day because a few things are different. We do have two different stores. You can write one game, and you'll see today how you can share a lot of your code, but you'll have to submit it to two stores, and you're going to get two paychecks back. Great question. Windows 8 80%, Windows 4 still at 70, Windows Phone still at 70. So that's if you're using our stuff. If you're using the Microsoft Interpurchase APIs, you know, and I'll show you a little bit of the options in a minute, that's where you're going to get. You're going to get 80% from us. Now, if you use your own API, if you use a third-party service that you use, you know, for your own API for Interpurchase, then you get as much of that as, you know, the other person gives you, right? So you can get 100% if they don't charge you any fees, or if it's something that you did in-house, and you can get, you know, very close to 100% if it's a platform that just charges you a nominal fee on anything you did. Why would, you know, if you're wondering, well, why would I ever use Microsoft APIs? It's just very convenient, right? We give you all the functionality, we give you great features, it's all integrated, it's very, very frictionless. So you're, you know, leaving a little bit in the table, but you don't have to worry about the logistics of, you know, having to do your own Interpurchase or dealing with third parties or anything like that. So we make it very, very easy for you, very convenient. What choices do you have for in-app commerce? So here's what we have. First of all, Microsoft has, if you're looking at, you know, within the application, Microsoft has a typical one-time purchase, right? Somebody goes into the store, they click on your game and says it's $2.99, and, you know, they say buy, and you get your you get your 70 or 80% of the $2.99, and we get the 20%, and we move on. So one-time purchase is all there. One thing that Microsoft has that's, you know, kind of different from other platforms is that we leverage trials a lot. Everybody here, if you write a game, definitely have a trial mode. We see great conversion from trial, right? We see that people can try it, and by people trying it, you get three things that are really great. Number one is, you know, they get to try it on their hardware, they get to try it on their environment, kind of see if it meets their expectation. We see really, really high conversion rate. This is something we've learned from Windows Phone, this is something we're leveraging on Windows 8, and we're seeing a great model there. They get to try it on their hardware. They get to make sure that it has, you know, the features that they were expecting, and that way they're not giving you a bad rating just because they were expecting something else, right? If you've ever written a game, I'm sure you've dealt with the fact that somebody comes in and says, well, this game doesn't have this feature, and you're thinking, that feature is not applicable to the game, right? And you get a rating of 1 star. You don't have that problem if you do a trial. And we have really great conversion rates from within our trials. So in the Windows 8 world, we have time trials. That means you can go in there and just, you know, within your game, as you submit it to the store, you say, hey, I'm going to let people try out this game for 2 days or 3 days. By the way, if you want to get a tip, 2 days is usually what we're seeing most conversions. So if you're going to do a trial, go for 2 to 3 days. Don't give them less and don't give them much more, because we see that the sweet spot, a lot of people convert kind of within the first 48 hours. But you can go in there, you write your game, you don't do anything different, you don't do anything special, you don't worry about, you know, anything trial-oriented, you don't write a single line of code, you go into the store on Windows 8, and when you submit it, you say, hey, give them a 2-day trial. And what Windows is going to do is they're going to, you know, tell them, hey, you can try this, and, you know, they'll install it on their machine, they'll try it for 48 hours, or whatever you tell them to try it, and then once that trial has expired, Windows will prompt them and say, hey, you can no longer run this application. You don't have to write a single line of code. Of course, if you want to make it easy, you should write 2 or 3 lines of code, which you're going to see later in the day, that just prompts the user and says, hey, you want to convert now, you want to purchase the game now. It's a few lines of code, and that way you can convert from a trial onto a full purchase within the platform. Very, very easy. So trial is something that we have that's different from everybody else. And again, we have this time-based trial. You can just say 2 days, 4 days, whatever you want. And obviously, we have feature-differentiated trials where you write a little bit of code and you say, oh, this is a premium feature. You have to pay extra, and you do that as you do with, you know, any of your games. With regards to purchases over time, we actually give you persistent purchases. That's kind of a, hey, I'm about to buy the next 40 levels of this game, and, you know, once I buy them, I'm going to get them forever. And we also give you expiring purchases. And that's a feature where I can say, look, for this week, I want to use premium. Maybe I'm traveling and I want to use the premium experience for this. But, you know, once I get over this week, and I'll pay a little bit extra, but once I get over that week, I want to go back to having the, you know, freemium model or something else, right? Something a little bit lower. So you can go up and down with regards to having a feature. If you're looking at this list and you write games, you're probably thinking, hey, where's consumables? And that is the one. Out of the whole day, that's probably the one day where I have news that are not great. And consumables is not something we do native on Windows 8. Now, if you look at expiring purchases, you can definitely define 3 or 4 expiring purchases that you just say, oh, you go purchase these. It's going to expire, you know, same day or an hour, you know, same day. And you just say, oh, this will expire, but you got the benefit and you turn that into, you know, behaving like a consumable. To the user, it's going to be seamless because they're not going to know how you coded it on the back end, and that's how you get consumables, right? So there's, you know, if you want to talk to us, everybody here at Microsoft or Unity can give you a, hey, this is how you do it. So we don't have consumables native, but it's very, very easy to simulate the behavior. And of course, if you're using your third-party commerce, whatever you have an existing relationship, you want to do subscriptions, or you want to do consumables, or you want to do anything else, you can actually just, you know, use the features that you want, the features that come from your third-party commerce, and you'll be okay, right? So that's what we're giving you. Again, 80%, all the APIs that you're expecting from us, all the APIs that you would have from a third-party if you want to go there and get higher than 80%, all of that's available. So how are we doing? And I have this data, and I have to very, very heavily emphasize, I'm not in the marketing team, so I have data that's 2 months old already. This is kind of the first 90 days. We launched late October, and I'm going to show you data about how we did from November all the way through end of January. So bear with us as the data, but the data is already very positive, so bear with us as I give you some data that's slightly out of date. First 90 days, we sold 60 million licenses of Windows 8. So, you know, the upgrade path, the amount of people upgrading was already outpacing Windows 7, which was a very, very fast platform. So we're doing really great with regards to selling the license and making sure people are getting it. There's consumers waiting for your games out there. It's a new model for us with this whole new tablet form factor, all these touch-oriented, all of these new devices. And what we've seen is obviously really, really positive. We see that people that have a touch device download about 4.5 times more apps. They spend a lot more time, you know, looking for apps. They multitask more. They're more interactive. They're using all these contracts. They're doing a lot of the things that we would expect that are going to differentiate your game and make them keep coming back. So we have a really great platform there for you to monetize on. We have a myriad of devices. I don't think that's a typo. I did go back and ask, and you know, there's a lot, 1,800 different devices out there that are already certified for Windows 8. So we have really, really great devices. And again, these are for x86 and also for ARM, so you will have the ability to do either one, right? The Windows Store in the first 70 days, so within the first 2 months, and think about it, we launched in late October. So, you know, for us, like the month of November, it's kind of a month that not everybody, you know, people buy their hardware for December, for the holidays. But within the first 70 days, we definitely reached 100 million downloads or more. We saw that on the first day, anybody who got a new PC, on the first day, 50% or more of those immediately went into the Windows Store. Right, so people go buy it, you know, even if they're buying a desktop, they're still going onto that Windows Store and going in there and, you know, discovering and finding games and everything else, right? So, 92% of the people of the users launched the actual Windows Store applications. So all of them are there. They all launch a Windows Store app, and 50% went into the store looking for games and doing everything else. With regards to games, we think we have a great gaming platform. Games get twice as many views, they get twice as many downloads, right? So we're seeing a lot of people coming in, looking for games, looking to be entertained. Some of the games that I showed you earlier, for example, Chimpact, right? They launched, you know, pretty early, and they immediately went in there and started climbing up when there was not a lot of games. They immediately started climbing up, and you know, they're like number one paid in many regions already. Right, so it was an app that got there early, got there on time, just at the right time. Everybody here knows it, right? Think about all those iOS apps you've written or I've written that are not making money because right now they're kind of getting lost in a store that has, you know, 700,000 apps, right? On Windows, it's much easier because we're still early. It's much easier for you to get discovered, get spotlighted, get promoted, and then, you know, make a lot of money or a good amount of money as you go. So we have a really great platform there. And the Chimpact guys did really great. It also took, you know, it took them less than a month. They didn't use Unity, so it took them longer. But it took them less than a month to take their Windows game and move it on to Windows Phone, right? That's testing and everything. So think about the development. It wasn't that big of an effort because we have the exact same platform on Windows as we do on Windows Phone. So you'll see a lot of that as we go. So Chimpact's an example of somebody that's doing really, really great. Joybits, everybody here is familiar with Doodle God the game. That's one of the ones I picked because I thought everybody will have seen it. First 60 days, or you know, in this first 90 days that we talked, these numbers are out of only that period, over 500,000 downloads, you know, within that period, right? Right now, the number is already, of course, much higher. So very, very good amount of downloads. They actually have 100% code reuse with the Windows Phone game. So you're going to hear that throughout the day. You're going to hear write a Windows 8 game, and you'll actually get a lot of the functionality moving on to Windows Phone 8. You see right here, Urban Warfare Unleashed, the CTO of Rebellion just say, hey, on Windows 8, we're seeing people engage more. We're seeing people spend more money, spend more time. So the RPU is higher, right? So, you know, compared to other platforms. We're seeing that people are definitely looking to play games within the space. We're seeing the people running Windows are very, very interested. And that's what we have. Great momentum, really great opportunity. So how do we get started? Very, very simple. You got to have an idea or a game that you already want to start. Most of you are here because you already have one of those. Next, you know, if you're going to develop your game, here's what you're going to need. You're going to need Windows 8 and Visual Studio 2012. Both of these you can get for free today, right? So for Windows 8, we have a 90-day enterprise trial. If you don't have all this feature, all this software, go to dev.windows.com, click on the downloads link, and you'll see that, hey, you'll be able to get a 90-day trial of Windows 8. Right, so that's enough time for you to convert your Unity game, you know, from wherever you're at and move it on to Windows very, very quickly. Right, so you'll be developing on Windows 8. You can run on any hardware. If you have Mac OS hardware and you want to run with Parallels at Bootcamp, all of that works fine. We've tested it. A lot of people are developing that model, and you'll be okay. You'll need Visual Studio. We have something called Visual Studio Express, which is a free version of Visual Studio. You don't have to pay anything. So again, to get started, you're not paying anything. And then the last thing you'll need, obviously, if you're using Unity, you will need the Unity add-in. So you already have Unity 4 or whatever version you're running. Like, let's say you're running 4.4.1. You'll go in there. We're in beta, so you can go into the beta, sign up, get the add-in, and code your game using Unity with the add-in. At this point, to develop your game, you haven't spent any money yet. Right. When you're ready to submit your game to the store, that's when you'll have to spend a little bit of money. Right. And two things you're going to have to do. The first one is you're going to have to go onto our store and register as a developer, just like you do for every other store. And I'll show you the prices in a minute. And then the second one is you're going to have to go to Unity and say, oh, I'm ready to deploy. You know, I want to go from using the beta plugin or the beta adding to using the actual plugin, the adding that's licensed. And you can actually, and you can deploy without a little watermark. So that's all you're going to have to do, and it's only when you're ready to go into the store. With regards to your store registration, we have three different price ranges depending on what you're looking at. It's free if you're a student of your startup, part of the BizSpark program, or if you're an MSDM subscriber. So to a lot of people, registering for the Windows Store is going to be free. It's $49 if you're an individual. And it's $99 if you're a business. The reason it's a little bit extra is because, you know, businesses go through a little bit of extra validation. But in the end, you can use an individual account to publish your game and be okay. There's not a lot of feature functionality for your game if you go with individual over business. Business is just, you know, it's the name, and they do go through a little bit of extra validation. And that's it. That's where we're at, right? You've developed your game. How do you get it onto the store? And I'm going to talk to you about three steps because you're going to hear about this step throughout the day. This is a little bit of the extra work that you're going to have to do with regards to, hey, I have a Unity game. Porting it to Windows Store is going to be very quickly. Then there's going to be a little bit of extra work that you have to do. So let me walk you through that. It's three steps. The first step we call the Windows Application Certification Kit. And this is a little tool that we give you. It's a free tool. It comes with, you know, the tools that you install when you you go download the Visual Studio Express and everything. It comes with Windows 8. And it's a tool that we give you to pre-certify your app. You run it, and it runs a set of tests that tells you, hey, your performance is good. You're using all the right APIs. You have, you know, the right things. Just binary. It's kind of a binary analyzer. It's not doing anything like analyzing the policies to make sure that your content ratings or anything that's policy driven is not going to be validated. But this gives you a good, you know, kind of head start with regards to certifying. That way you can submit to the store and have higher confidence that you're going to pass your submission on the first time you submit. Right. The next thing you do have to do is you do have to read our policies. Of course, there's policies. There's not that many, and they're very transparent, so they're very easy for you to understand. We try to make sure we tell you exactly where the gotchas are. We tell you, hey, go check for a license here. Go check for a privacy policy here. We tell you everything that you need. So you got to read our policies and just make sure that you're meeting the policies. And then if you have support, we have a lot of support along the way. For those of you in the U.S., for example, right here in the room, we have special programs. Go to generationapp.com, and you'll see special programs where you get, you know, support as you're developing your game. You get support when you submit in your game. We have great support from, you know, as you submit to the store. So all of that, we will have really great options for you to actually just submit to your store, to your game, to the store, and, you know, get out there very, very quickly. And that's it. That's my end. I ran a little bit, you know, a couple minutes longer than the 30 minutes I promised you. But, you know, that's it. For here, you're ready to go. You're ready to port your game. And that's where we're going to move on to talking about Unity. And from here on, you'll see a lot more Unity and a lot more code throughout the day. There's a few questions in there. When should one not use Unity? Well, if you're not writing a game, you probably, you know, if you're writing like the, you know, social or Facebook or Twitter app or anything that's not a game, that's a good, you know, that's a good reason not to use Unity, right? If you have a game on a different platform, like if you like Cut the Rope, right? I show you that one. It's an HTML game. They already had a read to an HTML. They can go ahead and use and keep their, you know, keep what they had, their investment. We're not going to tell you use one over the other. For us, as long as the game has great performance, as long as the game has a great experience, is a great concept, you know, the technology they use is, you know, it's irrelevant. I can tell you that, you know, if you're going to get Unity, first of all, everybody here knows how, you know, the rapid application that you get out of Unity, the quick prototyping, all of the great features that you're going to get out of Unity, the, you know, rigid body, all the physics, everything that's really hard to code that you're going to get from Unity for free. So if you write a game, it's a 3D game, then I would definitely say, hey, go look at Unity because it's going to get you there quicker. Right? If you have a different platform, a different framework, you know, it's up to you to actually, you know, pick your platform, make your choice and go with whatever you think is going to get you there quicker and is going to be most effective for you. But with regards to Unity, we're seeing great apps, we're seeing, you know, a really great platform, and we're working closely with them to make sure we continue to improve it as we go. So this is a great option that's going to be here now and is going to be here for the long run. We'll continue to improve together. We're only at the beta, as I said earlier. So, any more questions from the room? Go ahead. Okay. So let me repeat the questions for those online, and tell me if I didn't reword it right. But so he's saying, hey, I'm using in-app purchase today. And today with in-app purchase, you see the option for either, you know, there's different options. When you're using the Microsoft Commerce APIs, you have different options to pay. Credit card is one of them. PayPal is already one of them too, where, you know, it's going through the Microsoft Commerce APIs, but if the user says, hey, I don't have a credit card or I prefer to use PayPal, it's seamless to them. There's no friction for you within your game. You just call the one Microsoft API and the user gets to choose how they want to pay. And PayPal is an option. And he's saying in-app purchase is not available for PayPal yet. And that's fair. PayPal came a little bit later. We're still working through it. I don't have a timeline yet. So talk to me offline and I can connect you with the person that has the timeline there. We have, you know, different options. We have more options coming, by the way. So we'll continue to go as we go. We continue to improve as we go. And unfortunately, I don't have the exact timeline. But if you come to me during a break, I'll connect you to the right person. So any more questions? You want to see Unity now? All right. So I'm going to move on and let Carl come up and show you, you know, how you can use all the Unity skills and all the Unity tools you already have to build your game.